Welcome to Safety School, where we crunch down health, safety and environment learning into simple bite-sized snippets that you can use for your business or your career, helping you improve your knowledge, boost your performance and maybe even providing some inspiration. Let's get started. In this delightful little episode, I'm going to reflect back on a post that I put onto LinkedIn quite some time ago, well over a year ago now, where I asked my whole network a very simple question, and that question was, do safety practitioners or safety people need sales skills? It drew quite a lot of attention. I asked people to say yes or no and elaborate if they wanted to, and it took off like a rocket. It was very, very popular, a lot of engagement on the post. It had something crazy for me, certainly. It was a crazy amount of views, 50,000 plus views and well over 200 comments, which I rifled through and then tried to sort of boil down what people's thoughts were on it. First of all, in terms of the reaction, alas, well over 80% of people said yes, that safety practitioners do need sales skills. And that was a nice little validation of what I thought in the first place. And I was just wanting to check that assumption or my thoughts were along the right lines of thinking with most people in the profession. So that was good. There were some diehards out there that said no, that they should never, safety people should never be thought of as salespersons, and don't want to be affiliated with people who sell. So that was also interesting, but obviously each to their own. Everybody has their own opinion of this type of stuff. I looked through some of the comments and took five takeaways away, which I'm going to share with you now very quickly on this short podcast. So the first takeaway was that generally we have to sell upwards and influence downwards. So what someone was saying here was that whenever we're trying to sell safety or health and safety environmental concepts to senior management or leadership in a business, then often it's about developing the business case and trying to convince them that it lines up with the overall business strategy, that it's cost effective, that there's going to be return on the investment and so on. Whereas if we're trying to influence behaviors or the use of something new that we've implemented to improve conditions, improve HSE on a site or within a business, then often we're having to communicate on a deeper level with people. It's more indirect than what the selling upwards would be, and perhaps a longer process of influencing and changing those behaviors based on developing strong, trusting relationships with the people involved so that they can see your way of thinking and you ultimately understand their perspectives as well. And over time, hopefully you will meet in the middle and get the results that you're looking for. The second point then, which relates back to the first as well, is that thing that keeps rearing its head over and over again, which is developing our soft skills. And that is critical for anyone that's trying to promote health and safety or environmental performance within a business. And that includes, just as we were saying there, building those relationships, being empathetic or understanding to other people's needs, being a good communicator in terms of actually relaying what it is that you're trying to achieve to a person in a way that they understand, and also negotiating and compromising with those people and whoever it is that you're dealing with. The third takeaway that I retrieved from all those wonderful comments that I had on the post was that we should focus upon understanding why, not on saying no. Evidently, it's part of the stereotype for people working in HSE that they're prone to saying no and stopping things from happening due to any risk being involved or, you know, not being confident in the person that's carrying something out and so on and so on. This point was really just saying that it's incredibly powerful to understand, firstly, why someone is choosing to act in the way they are before making a judgment on it. So before you go jumping down someone's throat and stopping them from doing something, it's really important to understand why they're doing what they're doing in the first place. And that operational learning from your perspective gives you the insight and the perspective that you need to then make the necessary changes to make the job or activity easier for the person, and ultimately then hopefully get them to a stage where they're going to be able to do things as you want them to, or to a point where there's sufficient compromise on both sides and everyone's happy. Number four then from our takeaways on this conversation about whether safety people should have sales skills is that we need to be able to demonstrate better and more effectively how good health and safety benefits people and productivity. So it's not just one or the other. I remember someone I used to work with pointed out at one point that something that I continually done whenever a health and safety question was asked of me was that, first of all, to consider how it affected the people in the business, first and foremost, and then secondly, simply how did it impact the business, i.e. productivity, etc. And those two simple elements are fundamental to understanding what sort of impact some particular activity or behavior is actually having on a business and its operations and the happiness of the people in it. So if you ask those two simple questions, hopefully then you can relate that back to why whatever you're trying to put in place is actually going to improve it. Then it really makes a better case for you when you're trying to sell safety, as it were. And last but not least then, I can hardly advise on this one because I do a lot of talking on this podcast. But the fifth one, which is really important, and this obviously applies whenever we're dealing with people in the work environment, is that listening is nearly always more important than talking. I think that's a great one to finish on. Often we're caught in the trap of trying to get the last word in or the first word in, and we don't often sit back and listen intently enough to create a better response, and as well as that, to build rapport with those that we're communicating with. Well, that's it for our top five takeaways relating to the question, do safety people need sales skills? And hopefully these insights from health and safety professionals have given you a few things to think about and take away as you go into your day at work or you get prepared for the next one. That's it for this episode of Safety School. We hope this was helpful. If so, please remember to rate, review and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts or Spotify. And remember, for more health, safety and environment help, you can visit us at safety.com. Until next time, take care.